Okay, we might get started. Thank you very much for coming along to my session this afternoon. My name is James Milne, and I'll be presenting on designing search-driven SharePoint sites. So in SharePoint 2013, we have a major new feature that's been developed in SharePoint 2013. And the purpose of today's session, it's a relatively short amount of time. So what I want to do is try and get you guys into the demo as quickly as possible. But I also want to just challenge what you currently know about SharePoint and present to you guys a new way of thinking about designing your SharePoint sites, especially when it comes to some sort of catalog style site where you have a lot of content based on its metadata and you want to actually surface this up in multiple locations. So with the overview for today's session, I want to touch on what search-driven sites are, because it is a big change from how we've traditionally created SharePoint sites. We'll also go through and have a look at the features that enable the new information architecture that you can create in SharePoint 2013, which are catalogs, which lead into the cross-site publishing, which is another new feature in SharePoint 2013. Now, we also get to reuse some existing technologies, such as your term sets. So for those people who have actually used term sets before, what you're going to learn about today is in 2013, we now have a few additional features where we can now use our term sets for site navigation and also refiners in our search web parts when we actually go through and navigate through a site. So how many people are currently using publishing, SharePoint publishing features? Okay, so how many people are using SharePoint publishing and are struggling using the content query web part? So a few people have been up against it. So what I want to do today is present you with an alternative to the content query web part, which is some of the search web parts that I'll briefly be able to touch on them towards the end of the session. So what is a search-driven website? If we look at the current publishing architecture we have in SharePoint 2010 and 2007, if I needed to create something like an online catalog, whether it be for cameras or clothing or whatever, if I needed to create a site structure, I'd actually end up creating... Is that feeding back onto you guys? Or is it just me? A little bit? Okay. I'm actually going to probably dump it. How about now? Okay. So if we were to look at how to build a publishing site in 2010 or 2007, if you had a number of products or services, you would basically go through and create a publishing page or potentially a publishing site for each product or service. As your catalogs get bigger, this is going to become a huge challenge for you, because you're going to have to go through and create an additional site or an additional page. So now we're going to compete with outside. So what we're going to be looking at today, search-driven websites, we can create our content and all the technology that we already know and love, such as content types, site columns, term sets, are all still relevant. So SharePoint 2013 ships with a new site template called the Product Catalog Template. Now, the demos I'm going to go through are very product-centric, but I don't want you guys to think that that's the only thing you can use product catalogs for. Product catalogs will actually allow you to publish content into the search index and then make it searchable using a whole bunch of new web parts that have actually been released in 2013. So for those people who aren't familiar with 2013, Fast Search is now the core search engine available in SharePoint 2013. So Microsoft's invested heavily in replacing the search infrastructure with all the fast technology. And in the 2013 release, we also now have a bunch of new web parts that are oriented around search queries. And you'll get to see a couple of these today. So how is this different from using our publishing framework that we'd normally use in 2010 or 2007? The publishing site that I'm going to create is actually going to be using just two simple pages. And we're going to be reusing those pages over and over again based on the metadata of the catalog. We can then fire off queries using search web parts to basically go off and query and find products, in this example, that match a particular piece of metadata. The other thing that we will have as a cool feature out of 2013 is the concept of friendly URLs. The other thing to think about is the content that I'm publishing through the catalog can actually be anywhere on the farm. So one of the big challenges with the content query web part is you're usually querying content from your own site collection, maybe a different site or a different list within your collection. Now, because we actually have search underpinning the roll-up capabilities, as long as your search service is indexing that content and it's in the index, we can actually return it as results on a web part. So where we have the content query limited to your site collection, the search web parts now are limited to anything you can index. So it can go across site collections, across web applications. It could go across other farms if you needed it to. So what I'd like to do now, before I dive into my demos of how to build it, I'd like to demonstrate what it is we're actually going to build. So normally I run this session as a 50-minute or an hour session, but given the half hour format, what I've tried to do is I want to show you what we're starting with, or what the end goal is. So this is the Contoso audio store example, which is the reference case. If you want to read up about it, have a bit of a search on the internet and you'll find some other examples. But basically, if I navigate back to the home page, what we're looking at here is a publishing site. And you'll notice the navigation across the top here correlates to a term set. So somebody's sat down and created a products term set, and then we can go off and tag content using that term set, and then that term set can also be used as my navigation structure for my online store. So in this example, notice what happens if I navigate down into computers, laptops, for example. Just give it a second to load. So a couple of things I want to point out. Firstly, up the top of the page, notice the URL. So we've actually got a nice friendly name of /computers/laptop. So I've navigated into computers as a category, and I'm now viewing all the items that are tagged in my index as laptops. Another thing I'd like to point out is down the left-hand side, notice the rich refiners that are now available to me. These are all web parts that are available to you out of the box. So after this session, if you get a chance, sit down and have a play with 2013 and you'll find there's a bunch of new web parts, such as these refiner web parts that you can then use to refine the result set. So what we're really looking at here is a dynamic page. This content in the middle of the page is actually another web part that's going off and showing me all the items that match computers/laptops. And then as I use the refiners down the side, it's simply going to refresh the web part in the middle of the page to hone in on my search results. Now, if I click on a particular item in the result set, you'll notice there is a picture and there's a number of properties or pieces of information about that particular product that are available to me. The interesting thing is where this information is coming from. This information is not coming directly from the list. It's basically coming straight out of the index. So rather than actually, so you'll notice the URL at the top hasn't changed, but I can tell you now, this content doesn't exist in this site collection. It's actually existing in another site collection, and I'll show you how that's actually created in a second. But the point here is, all of this information is being driven off the search index. Now, why I'm excited about that is think about the content query web part that you're currently using. You can usually put one or two of those on a page, and then after that, the performance starts to really hit you. The point here is, rather than using the content query web part, you could start to switch over to use the search web part. Because the index is going to be created anyway for your search capabilities, we can now use the web parts to feed off the search index to present content dynamically. So that's the only thing that's probably a little bit of a design issue here that you need to think about. If this information is updated in the original source, it could, depending on your crawl timeframes, be slightly out of date. So if you are going to implement this technology, you will need to use the new continuous crawl functionality in FAST, if that's important to make sure that your product catalog is kept up to date. Okay, so I'm now just going to switch machines. If you're interested, I can hang around after the session and walk you guys through that demo in a bit more detail. But what I wanted to do is switch across, and I'm going to introduce you guys to the example I'm using, which is a bicycle store. So what I've done here is I've actually used the product catalog site template, which is new in 2013. The product catalog site template Here we go. So this is the product catalog site template. You can see, like a lot of the other site templates in SharePoint, they try to give you guidance on how to set up and configure your site when you first create it. So I've actually done a little bit of pre-baking in the background, because obviously, given the short amount of time that I have to present, I've actually gone through and populated my products list with information. So you can see, what they're trying to guide you to do is to create a content type to represent your products. So everything you already know about site columns and managed metadata is still relevant. You declare a content type that reflects your products or services or whatever you're trying to publish out through the organization. You go through, you create your content types, attach them to the list. Now, one little gotcha that you will come across is the items in your list will typically not be picked up by the search index until there's a significant number of items in that list. And what I've found is it's usually around 10 to 15 items. Anything less than that, then the indexer does pick it up, but it doesn't actually process it and display it properly. You'll find it's missing. So what I typically try to do is punch in 10 random items into that list. And in this example, if I just drill through to the product's list itself, you can see I've already been in here. I've created about 10 items in here. Just to reinforce creating the actual items, we're really just talking about a list full of items. In this example, they're product content types. So nothing special, nothing really unusual so far. You will notice that the biggest thing I want to point out is the fact that I've actually gone through and created a taxonomy as a term set for managing my bicycles in this example. So you'll notice there's BMX bikes, kids bikes, mountain bikes, and racing bikes. So whatever taxonomies you want to come up with, you attach those to your content type and use that to tag or categorize your products. At this point, the actual products list, if we go in and have a look at the list settings on the product list, one of the new features that we have is, notice down the bottom here, there's actually down the bottom here is an item that says catalog settings. If I go into the catalog settings, this is where I can actually declare my list as a catalog. Now, this is very significant. Quick show of hands, how many people have actually set up managed properties in 2010? How long did it take you? Quick show of hands if you got it done in a couple of hours. A couple of days. So what you would have struggled with was you created your content, you crawled, the search engine discovered the properties as crawled properties, you then mapped the crawled properties to managed properties, you then did another re-index so it actually filled the managed properties, you then took the managed properties and put them on a search refiner page or something along those lines. And it was usually, you know, a couple of hours of work depending on how much content you had and how fast your indexing was. So what I'm doing here is I'm going into a particular list. I can go into any list for that matter. And you'll notice in here, I can actually declare this library as a catalog. Now that's very significant. Although it's a sweet, innocent little checkbox, it actually does a lot for me. By me checking this checkbox and declaring this list or library as a catalog, that's going to automatically promote all the columns on that library, not just as crawled properties, but as managed properties. So think about all those hours that you spent re-indexing, looking for the crawled properties. It's going to go through and do that all automatically for you. Now, the point of making them as managed properties is then all the search web parts will actually then start to pick up off those managed properties. So I've already done this, and I've already sent the indexer through to actually do a re-index on this. Otherwise, we'd probably be waiting for half an hour alone, just waiting for the product catalog to go through. Now, what I want to do now is switch across to the publishing side of things. So your product catalog can be anywhere in your organization. So for example, this could be sitting smack bang in the middle of the marketing site collection. So the marketing guys can go in there, they can manage their products, they can manage their services, they can change the descriptions, they can change the categorization on those assets in that site collection. Now that this is a catalog, the search index is actually paying attention to it when it comes through. Now, what I'm going to do is I've actually now got a publishing site template. Now, this is a vanilla one. I've done nothing to it so far. So I want to step you through what I need to do to attach the catalog to my publishing site. So first off, I'm going to go into the site settings for the publishing site. Now, this could be in your www web app on your farm. And I'm going to go into the navigation setting in here. Now, coming into the navigation settings, from 2010 and 2007, you'd probably remember the structural navigation where I can choose to show sub-sites and sub-pages. But now in 2013, we've actually got the option to use managed metadata as our navigation. So you notice as soon as I select that, down the bottom of the page, you'll notice I have access to my term store. So one of the other things that I've done before this demo this morning is I've actually come in and I've actually created a number of term sets. Now I'm going to switch across in a second into the term store to actually show you what I did in a bit more detail. But at this point, what I really need to do is just select a term set to be used as navigation for my publishing site. So the www site navigation term set is currently empty. It has nothing in it. I've basically been into the term store, created an empty term set, and called it www site navigation. And now I'm going to scroll to the bottom and click on OK. Now, at first you might think, well, this is going to break the site because it's an empty site, term set. There we go. So you'll notice across the top, there's nothing. It says edit links. That's because my term set is currently empty. Now, the next thing I want to do is I'm just going to switch across to the term store to point out a few things for you. So here are the term sets that I've created. So there's the www site nav term set, which I've created. It's just empty. But what's interesting, in 2013, we now have this extra tab up the back there that says intended use. So on the intended use tab, you can see I can select whether this term set is going to be available for tagging, which we all currently use in 2010. But we've also now got a new feature, actually two new features, one for identifying term sets which are going to be used for navigation. So by me making this term set available for navigation, that's what gave me the ability to go into the site settings and say I'd like to use that term set as navigation for this particular site. You'll also notice down the bottom here, we also have the ability to define a term set for faceted navigation. That's basically saying that I want to use this term set for the refiners down the left-hand side of any of the search results pages. So by checking that, the search index will pay attention to it, and it'll bubble up into my web parts where I can use all the refiners on the search results pages or on my catalog pages later on. Now, the only other thing I've done in here is under sales, I've actually created. Yep. So the old refinement panel has been put onto steroids. In 2010, remember how you were hacking the refiner's XML file? The refiner's XML file has gone away. We now actually have a nice little GUI. So the properties that you declare as being able to use for refinement will actually appear in the web part configuration. So no more hacking XML. It's a nice little GUI. I definitely recommend going and having a look at it. If you've ever suffered through hacking the refiner's XML, when you go and have a look at it now, you'll go, oh, this is what it should have been. And it's just all lists of properties, and you select which ones you want to use. So I just wanted to bring you in here to show you that I do actually have a product hierarchy. And it's just a simple term set of the bicycles that we saw earlier in my list, where I'm actually using it to tag those items as products and a particular type of product. So the point here is this could be as complicated as I wanted to make it. I've kept it relatively simple, but you can imagine this could be products and services and lots of different categories. Now, the next part of the equation, once I've actually got the product catalog up and running, I've just switched back to my publishing site. Now, in my publishing site, you'll notice there's a new link under site administration. There's a new link that allows me to manage my catalog connections. Now, by going into the catalog connections, I can now connect this publishing site off to any of the catalogs that have been declared or published within my farm environment. Now, just wait for it to come up. The other thing you need to think about is that little checkbox when I went into the products list and declared the products list as a catalog, the indexer will need to come through and identify that I actually have checked that little checkbox. So if you check that checkbox and then quickly run over here to this other site collection and try and connect to it, you will have to wait for the indexer to come through. So there will be a little bit of a lag. So I've actually pre-baked a lot of this and had the indexer run through. So now when I click on connect to a catalog, it's basically looking into the search index to see what lists and what libraries have been declared as catalogs. And in this example, you can see I've actually got two. So I've actually declared a documents library as a catalog, and I've also declared my products list as a catalog. I can now choose to connect to that catalog. And by connecting to the catalog, what I'm really asking SharePoint to do is to go in and create a couple of publishing pages for me. I'm also going to ask it to automatically put the web parts onto the page, so I really don't need to do too much thinking at this point. And if I wanted to, I can override all of these settings, but I'm quite happy to let SharePoint do it for me in a demo scenario. So you can see I've got two options at the top here. Do I want to integrate the catalog into my site, or do I just want to connect to it and then I'll go through and wire up all the web parts? I'm going to go for the easy option and get SharePoint to integrate it into my site. In the initial demo that I gave you guys, I went to the home page and then I navigated through computers into laptops. So computers is technically the category in my online product catalog, and then laptops will actually return a number of items that match that metadata. So what we're looking at here is what's the term set that we're using to create our product catalog hierarchy. So in my example, I've really only got one. Now you might have noticed when I was in the term store, I actually did have a lot of other term sets available to me. But because I've configured this particular term set as being available for navigation and refiners, that's why it's actually appearing in this drop-down list and I can't see any of the others. So I'm going to go ahead and say, yes, I want to use bicycles. Click on OK. Add to the navigation route. That's just whether we're going to start off with those across the top or whether I want another node at the top. So I'll leave that as add as the navigation route. Pin the terms to the site navigation. So remember, I'm actually working with two term sets here. I've got my products and I've got my site navigation term set. So what this is going to allow us to do is to take the product hierarchy and pin that across to my site navigation. So as products are added to or enhanced, that's just going to automatically appear on my navigation structure. You'll also notice I can make the URLs relative to this site, or I can make the URLs relative to the catalog site. So the point here is your catalog could be inside your organization and your publishing site could be outside your organization. So we can effectively mask where that content's stored. You noticed in the initial example, you could see the URL at the top, but I pointed out that the data was actually coming from a different site collection. So it's actually coming from the product catalog site collection through the index into the publishing site. So most of the time, you're going to want to make them relative to the site. We can play around with constructing the URLs and the friendly URLs if we wanted to, but for this example, I'm going to leave this relatively out of the box. You'll also notice it's going to go off and create two publishing pages for me, a category page and an item page, which is what we actually saw me navigating through as I navigated through the site. So for those people who are already used to using publishing pages in SharePoint 2007 and 2010, these are still the same publishing pages that you know and love, so we can actually still go in and edit them and add extra web parts to it, but this is just going to automatically provision it and automatically add the search web parts to those pages for me. Any questions while I wait for this to connect? No? Oh, sorry. So, are you referring to the item or the category? Okay. So the category, it's just going to be a publishing page. Automatically on that page will be a search web part. And what it's going to do is it's going to look at the URL. So remember the friendly URL. It's going to look at a particular section of that URL to figure out what the category is. It's then going to do a canned search. So it is a little bit of potluck from the perspective of it's just going to go off and query the index, and however those items come back from the index, it's going to present them on the page. It is a search query web part, so we can go in and actually modify the relevance and the sorting orders and stuff like that after the pages have been set up for me. So these pages can be reconfigured. Now, the first thing I want to point out to you is notice across the top, it's picked up the term sets for BMX, kids, mountain bikes, and racing bikes. So if I go back to I won't go back to the homepage, I'll just go straight into BMX. And so this is where you'll be able to see the friendly URLs kicking in. Okay, so you can see across the top, hopefully. I've just navigated into BMX, so you can see BMX on the end of the URL. What we're looking at here is actually the category page for bicycles. Now notice these little red warnings yellow warnings are just letting me know that these are publishing pages, these are checked out. Now if I go ahead and have a look at, notice it's actually telling me that the page template, changing this page will affect multiple URLs. So what we're really doing here is mapping the friendly URL at the top over the top of a publishing page. So if I actually click on the view URLs, the friendly URLs being mapped over the top of the publishing page, this will give me a list of the publishing pages. Sorry, that's the publishing page, and these are the friendly URLs that are mapping to that publishing page. So what I can do now is I can actually go into any of those, I can go into any of the publishing pages, which in reality is this one publishing page. So if I navigate into BMX and say, hey, we're having a special on BMX, I want to put a big web part at the top, I can edit that page. And at the time I edit that page, it's actually going to pop up and go, wait a sec, do you want to edit the underlying page or do you just want to edit the BMX page? So at that point, it'll give me the choice of, do I want to customize the underlying publishing page, or do I want to just customize the BMX version of that page? So I'm pretty much out of time, but what I want you guys to be thinking about is, this is now a new structure for publishing content. Now, it doesn't just have to be for product catalogs. You could be using this for your publishing your policies and your procedures out through the organization. So think about all those departments being able to have their own little libraries for their policies and procedures, and you could make them all catalogs, and then we can use the search web parts to roll them back up onto any page in the farm. So don't forget, this isn't just restricted to your site collection. Anything in the search index is basically available to be queried. So thank you very much for coming along today. If you have any questions, feel free to stay behind and I'll make myself available. But if you grab the slide decks, I've actually left all the notes and all the settings and stuff like that in there if you want to go and play with it. There is also a number of hands-on labs next door that actually walk you through the exact process I've actually just done for you today. Thank you very much. No problem. So you guys think that'll be relevant for you guys?
Yes.
Yeah.